All right, Luke chapter 8 this morning, please. The Gospel of Luke chapter 8. We are continuing through the Gospel of Luke, and this morning we reach chapter 8 and verse number 26. A familiar story, one recorded in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We went through the Gospel of Mark a couple of years ago, and actually, early in his gospel, came across this same story. We're going to begin reading in chapter 8 and verse number 26 and read down through verse 36 this morning. Luke chapter 8 and verse number 26. Follow along if you would in your Bible as I read aloud. Luke chapter 8, verse number 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. When he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he was by which means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer this morning. Our Father, we are dependent upon you this morning for any and all blessings that we might receive. God, we're thankful to be your people, to be called by your name, Father, to be lights in this world and to be ambassadors for Christ. And Father, we pray that you would help us with this challenge, that we would be what you have left us here to be. God, I pray we'd be different from the rest of the world. I pray, Father, they might see such a contrast in our life and our language and, Father, all that we do, that, Father, they might understand that we are the children of God. I pray, Father, as we examine this story, a familiar story this morning, that you would give guidance. May your Spirit be our teacher and our guide, Father, help us to say those things that are necessary to be said and not to say things that are not beneficial, Father, either by encouragement or conviction, whatever means it might be. We pray that your word would be a blessing to us here this morning and it would search our hearts. We pray, Father, you'd give us an understanding of your word. We pray you'd speak to each and every one of us. We pray, Lord, we'd be challenged by your word. We pray, should there be one today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that, Father, your word would sink into their heart. And, Father, it would find good ground. Lord, they would trust Jesus Christ to the saving of their soul. Bless your word here this morning. We pray that you would meet with us in a very special way. For that which you do, we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You're familiar with the story of this man that is sitting in the tombs and making his living there, a very violent man, a very devil-possessed man, as we might say, sitting and unclothed and frightening to all that might come by that way. I heard someone give this sermon a title years ago, and I told it to my wife last night. She said, that's corny. But you're going to hear it anyways. I heard years ago, I don't know if I heard the man preach the sermon or just heard him use the title, but he called this sermon, The Nude Rude Dude in a Crude Mood. Is that corny? Okay, that's corny. Biblically sound, yes. The most common title that's given to this sermon, this passage of Scripture, is The Maniac of Gadara. And I want us to think about for just a moment this morning that term, the maniac of Gadara, because what is it that made him a maniac? What is it that made him a rude dude in a crude mood? What is it that made him socially unacceptable? What is it that made him violent? What is it that made him so unlike most other people in their behavior? I thought about this week, and I thought, you know, if this fellow were to be in our county, to be in our town, someone would find him, they would sedate him, they would take him to the Appalachian Behavioral Care Center, they'd put him in a cell and make sure that it was locked tight. Then they would continue to give him medication, and they would send in psychologists and psychoanalysts to give him tests and work on his mind and find out what kind of schizophrenia he actually is in possession of. And we need to understand this morning that this man's problem would never have been solved by modern science. In fact, society of that day, the Bible says that they bound him with fetters and bound him with chains, and he could not be bound, much like Samson, with a different spirit. He was able to break even the bindings they put around him, supernatural strength that he possessed. And it wasn't because he was a schizophrenic or had some kind of weird mindset. It wasn't because his body was different. The problem wasn't his body. The problem wasn't his mind. The problem was he was possessed of a devil. And you say, well, I've never seen such a fellow around in our days. Well, probably not. This kind of devil possession is pretty rare in our day, though, may I say, it's not extinct. The devil uses it when it's necessary for him to use it. This man had many devils, and we'll talk about that in a moment. And so the concentration of these unclean spirits within him made him react in such an extreme way. There are many people that don't have many devils. They just have a few. Maybe they just have one. And so they don't show all the signs that this maniac showed. But so often in society today, and please, I know the things I'm going to say, I have to think through so carefully, because I don't want you to apply this to a wide spectrum of everything that happens and say any mental illness, any behavioral unnatural thing is all attributed to the devil. There are other reasons for other things that happen, and I'm well aware of that. But I also know this, that modern day society would write this guy off as just having something like a bipolar condition. Or that he's got ADD or ADHD. They would give him medication. And again, I'm not a doctor, so when it comes to the medical field, I'm not speaking on those areas. I let that stuff alone. But I am convinced, without any doubt, that modern day science and modern day medicine has made addicts out of people that do not need to be addicts. They've made people dependent on medications to control themselves when the problem is not going to be solved by medication. And again, I'm talking about unsaved people. When I say these things, you know that a Christian cannot be possessed of the devil. A Christian could be oppressed by the devil. And some of these signs might even appear then. But he can't be possessed, because if he's trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, greater is he that is in you, than he that is in the world. And that devil can sit on your shoulder and stomp on your chest and do some pretty serious damage from the outside, but he can't control you from the inside. But this man was not in that condition. This man had a serious problem, and his problem was not going to be solved by delving into his mind or by chaining his body or by sedating him with medicine. And there's only one person that was going to meet the need that he had, and that was Jesus Christ. There are some people today that aren't going to find their solution anywhere else other than Jesus Christ. And the sad thing is, that's not the treatment that's given by modern day society. Modern day society prescribes something. Modern day society advises something instead of treating the problem that was there in this man. Not all abnormal behavior is a result or a direct result of devil possession, but may I say, we still need to leave that door open that it can be, because the Bible is still true. The Bible is still accurate. And though it took thousands, I think, of devils in this man to make him act in such an extreme way, it doesn't take thousands to get people to act the way they act today. And so we find here this man that was possessed of a devil. It wasn't a mental illness. It wasn't a treatable disease. But the Bible gives us an alternative, that there are other things that can cause this extreme mental and physical condition that this man found himself in. Every lost person is possessed by the devil. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and Jesus Christ is not living on the inside, then somebody else is. And as we're going to see in just a few minutes, if you're not controlled by Jesus Christ on the inside, you're controlled by somebody else. It's almost laughable, if it wasn't so serious, for somebody to use an excuse to trust in Christ as Savior, saying, "Well, I don't want anybody to tell me how to live my life." Buddy, you're already a slave. You already have somebody driving you and controlling your life right now, whether you want to admit it or not. You might as well trust somebody that's going to give a positive direction in your life. Amen. You might as well give it to somebody who's going to seek your benefit and not your hurt. Let's get on, because I'm beginning to spill over into some of the things that I need to say, not at this point, but later on. Let's notice some things about this man in verse 26 down through verse number 29. First of all, I want you to notice in verse 27, it says, when Jesus came into this place, there met him a certain man which had devils. I'm going to say this, and you might not understand the reasoning for it, but I'm going to say it anyways. He didn't have demons. Amen. He had devils. One of the signs of these last days is just to water down everything we can in the Word of God. The word demon is not an English word. It's a transliteration from a Greek word. And it was brought into the English language from Greek mythology. A demon was a mythological Greek figure. Someone was along with Baal and all that other kind of stuff. And that stuff doesn't belong in the Bible. Someone said, well, the reason the translators didn't use demon is because that word wasn't in the English language till later on. But I found that to be untrue simply by getting an old dictionary, looking up the history of the word, and finding out that Shakespeare used it in many of his plays. It was in common usage in the late 1500s, but the translators of our Bible said, hey, we're not going to use the name of some mythological Greek figure. We're going to translate it and let people know that where these things come from, where their source is, where they derive their power, and they're called after the name of their leader, they're called devils. It's interesting to note that when you pick up some of the new Bibles, and I did with this verse, and it said that he was possessed of devils, they said he was demon-possessed. You say, what's the difference? Is he possessed of one or many when he's demon-possessed? It doesn't tell you. Is he possessed of devils? Is that one or many? That tells you. And so though later in the story, there's the story about Legion and so many, we just need to learn to trust what God has put in front of us to understand the story. God said he was possessed of devils. I want you to note it said there were many of them. Again, later on, verse number 30, when Jesus addressed this devil or these devils that were within this man, he said, what is thy name? And you know, as you read through the story, it's hard to tell when the man is speaking and when the devils are speaking. And that's true of devil possession. Sometimes you can talk to somebody, you don't know which voice or which response you're going to get. Are they speaking? He said, what is your name? Was he asking the man? Yes. But the man didn't reply. The devils from within him replied and said, my name is Legion, because we are many. Now they say that in the Roman army that a legion was anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000. Pretty good. I'm glad our military is a little better than that. When we say it's a troop or we say it's a company, we know specifically. We don't say, well, it's anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 people. Well, feed them, would you? You better prepare for the 6,000 in case that's how many. But that's a wide scope. But needless to say, These devils, as you know, when they're cast out of this man, go into a herd of swine. And in the other gospel, it tells us there were 2,000 herd of swine. So that's a lot of devils inside of this man. You imagine his condition. This is a man, a human being, just like you are, with a body that was 5'8", 5'10", whatever the size, 160 pounds. And yet within that body were thousands of devils. I wouldn't want to come near him. You wouldn't want to be near him. You can understand the fear that was on everybody that came around him. He was possessed of devils. Notice the duration of it in verse number 27. And there met him a man out of the city, a certain man which had devils long time. This was not an overnight thing. This was not a short period of testing. These devils had possessed this man for a long period of time. He used to have a home, as you read the final three verses in the story down to verse 39. He used to have a home, but he doesn't live there anymore. He used to have a family, but he's not around them anymore. It's been a long time since he was able to be around any people in a sane mind, hold a conversation, sit still for any period of time, have self-control and be sane in his conversation. It's been a long time for this man being possessed of these devils. Notice in verse 27 it also says, which had devils long time and wear no clothes. Now boy, you talk about a text to preach on. A sign of devil possession is a desire to take off clothes. Is a desire to dress immodestly. A desire to dress indecently. I don't want to go a long way on this, but you know it doesn't take much in today's society to understand that the trends and the fashions of dress are completely out of line with the Word of God. The Bible says that we are to wear modest apparel. There are certain areas of our body which are not supposed to be publicly displayed. And yet the dress codes and needs of our modern day society to be fashionable and in style are to dress in an immodest and an improper fashion. And may I say that is a sign of devil possession. Here is a man that could not even maintain his moral outward appearance. He had to disrobe. He had to take clothes off. He had to run around naked. That was a desire of him because of these many devils that were in him. He had to shed clothing. We need to be careful as our society gets farther and farther away from God that the dress gets more and more immoral. What a sad thing when Hollywood starlets are held up as an example for young people of somebody to be like. When they're put on the covers of magazines and their names are broadcast and they're famous on Hollywood and on ABC and NBC and CBS, and yet their lifestyle and their dress is so completely foreign to the things of God, and yet our young people get a desire to be like that. Demon possession is indicated, is a sign of a desire to get rid of dress. Verse number 27, he wore no clothes. Notice his dwelling also in verse 27. Neither abode he in any house. He could not be contained even in his dwelling. He could not sit still for any period of time. And again, I say modern day society would have just shot him with some kind of drug. But he could not sit still. He had to be going. He had to be up. He had to be moving. And he couldn't dwell in his house because he couldn't feel content to be there. Something had to have him going all the time. Never resting, never relaxing. And it said, neither abode he any house, but he abode in the tombs. They tell us that this part of the Gadarenes up in this area that he was in, that overlooked the lake or the sea as it came in, was a place of limestone. And within the limestone, a lot of openings or caves that went through there. And this man would constantly be in movement from one place to another throughout that mountainside. He could not sit still for any given period of time. He could not maintain any kind of complacency at all. It was almost like a halfway house for him between life and death. Notice in verse number 29, I skip verse 28 because as you read the context, verse 29 in the parentheses tells us what happens before verse 28. And it said in verse 29 that Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. He was defiled. He had an unclean spirit. I don't know about you, and again, I know of one man in my lifetime that I've met that I feel was as possessed of the devil as this man here. And nobody here would know him. I knew him when we were over in the Pacific Islands, out on an island, and he would walk around in a dirty pair of underwear was all he ever wore. He slept up in the caves. Everybody was afraid of him. He was not in his right mind. And he's the only person I've ever met. And of course, that's away from the shores of the United States. And people just let him alone and let him be. And the family wrote him off as being gone forever and so forth. But we don't see this kind of thing very often. But one of these unclean spirits, at least, or one of these devils that made him unclean is not an uncommon thing. Because uncleanness is very common in our country, in our area. And by uncleanness, I don't mean lack of a shower or not taking a bath, but I mean dirty on the inside. And one of the biggest battles you and I have in this life as a Christian is to stay clean in the midst of a filthy generation. You can't go into any store without being defiled through the eye gate by the stuff that's portrayed out there on the thing. And it doesn't have to be the pornography. That's bad enough. But you know what? Pornography isn't. I don't think that, you know, we put a lot of emphasis on it, and it's dirty, it's unclean, it's defiled, it's filthy, it's rotten. But you know what? It doesn't take that, because somebody doesn't just jump from nothing to that. But what they walk in is they see the other magazines at Walmart. They see the ones in the racks that are there, that are just showing the Britney Spears and the Angelina Jolies and these other starlets and their indecent dress and the styles and the fads. And that gets the attention and that gets things started. And it doesn't have to be full-blown filthiness. It can be little parts of it coming around. And our society just overlooks it like it's nothing at all. And God says it's unclean. It's dirty. People tell their dirty stories. Dirty jokes. It comes from inside. It's all dirty. We need to be careful of these things. We have homosexuality sweeping our land. It's dirty. It's unclean. And people now make a joke out of it. They make lighthearted things out of it. They don't realize the filthiness and the vulgarity that's indicated in it. We're becoming an unclean generation, and many people have an unclean spirit. They might not have all the full-blown possessions of this man, but they've got that unclean spirit within them. He was defiled. Notice down in verse number 29, he'd been detained. For oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands. He could not be bound by human means. His strength was supernatural. Have you ever met, and again, I know I'm crossing over back and forth, and I don't. Have you ever met somebody that had a mental illness? Whether it was devil possession or really a mental illness. They had a mental illness and were very slow mentally and had abnormal strength. That's very common. They have abnormal strength. And it's not bad if they don't know they have it, but when they know they've got it, that's dangerous. This man had been bound with fetters. He knew nobody could bind him. He knew nobody could capture him. He knew nobody could catch him. And society's solutions of throwing him in a jail cell or binding him with something weren't going to do anything. He had a far deeper need than what society was willing to recognize. Not only was he detained, but verse 29 says, the end of the verse, and was driven of the devil. He was driven of the devil. I tell you, a lot of people today are driven of the devil. That goes back to what I said earlier. Somebody says, I don't want to receive Christ because I don't want Him to dictate the way I live. I don't want the Bible to control how I am. You're being controlled whether you recognize it or not. You're being driven whether you recognize it or not. You might as well be driven by God instead of being driven by the devil himself. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 1 and verse 12, remember after the baptism of Jesus, He was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus Christ was driven by the Spirit. This man is driven by the devil. Which one are you? We're all driven by one or the other. One or the other, and this guy, I know this isn't accurate, but one or the other is our driver. Steering and giving us direction in our life. We're following, we're being driven by one or the other. It might as well be Jesus Christ as be the other. People today are being driven whether they realize it or not. Verse number 29, the end of the verse said also this, He was driven of the devil into the wilderness. He was desolate. You know, every time they investigate one of these things like the Columbine shootings, or this fellow down at Virginia Tech about a year ago or less than a year ago, you know, they always find a loner. Somebody that just didn't fit in, didn't get along with everybody else, that spent their time on their own. Those two young men from Columbine, the two of them were a little cult in themselves and didn't get along, didn't socialize with anybody else. Better be careful. Schools today are setting their eyes on that one or those students that isolate themselves and appear different from everybody else. And it's not without reason that they do so. This man, being possessed of the devils, was desolate. He was in the wilderness. He was alone. Notice verse 28, and this is important to know. He was devout. Amen. You know what he said when Jesus Christ came? "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, the Most High?" You know, there's not a better proclamation of the deity and the power of God than what that devil made right there. And in the midst of all these other signs of his possession, in the midst of all these other traits that he had given, he was devout. He recognized Jesus Christ for who he was. He knew what the power was that Jesus possessed. And he was in fear of it, and in awe of it, and respect of it. He fell down before him, the beginning of the verse says. And he said, "Jesus, thou Son of God, the Most High." The Bible tells us in James chapter 1 and verse 12, "The devils believe also and tremble." You know, some of the most devil-possessed people are religious people. Now, please don't. All religious people are devil-possessed. I didn't say that. But some of those that are most religious are devil-possessed. I got a good Bible background for saying that. You remember the scribes and the Pharisees? Don't get much more religious than that. And I don't mean, you know, when we think religious, we think of ungodly. I mean pure people, holy people, living right, keeping the commandments, doing their alms, paying their tithes, making their prayers, doing everything they're supposed to do. But you know, when they got in an argument with Jesus Christ in John chapter 8, and they said he was born of fornication, trying to slam his mother and Joseph and what happened by human estimates, and then they claimed Abraham as their father to show about how much holier they were than Jesus was. You know what Jesus said to them in verse 44 of that chapter? These religious, good, moral people, he said, "You are of your father the devil." There's a lot of religious people who just have all this morality and goodness and religion, and it's really a smokescreen because the devil's at the heart of it. The devil doesn't mind religion as long as it keeps people from trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior. And here's a man that has all the devoutness of recognizing Christ, but he's possessed by a devil. Then notice lastly about this man in verse 28. Notice the destruction. When a man is possessed of a devil, he is destructive. It says at the end of verse 28, they besought the Lord and said, these devils said, "Torment me not." What a hypocritical statement for them to make. They're saying to Jesus, "Don't torment us." What have they been doing to this poor man for a long time? They've been tormenting him. They have separated him from his family, from his homeland, from his people, from his occupation, from everything decent and sane and normal, and they have tormented him. In fact, the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 5, in the same story about this, it said, "And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones." We read other stories of those possessed by devils that they would throw that person into the fire. It's a destructive tendency. And now these devils have the nerve to come before Jesus and say, "Torment us not." When a man is possessed of a devil or devils, he will be destructive. This man gives us the indication of a full-blown case of being possessed by many devils. But thank God in verse 30, down through verse 36, we read about the miracle. And that's what this man needs. Not a miracle drug. He needs a miracle. There's nothing known to man that's going to help him. Nothing known to man that's going to cure him. He needs a miracle. And the worker of that miracle, of course, is in verse 30 and 31, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He confronts this devil, he confronts this man, and he says, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. Imagine, just imagine in your body if it were possessed by thousands, I don't know how many, but by hundreds or thousands of devils. Now you know what these devils are. They rebelled against God in the beginning, and they were cast out of heaven. Some were put into chains of everlasting darkness, but some are free to roam the earth right now. And they seek a warm place to abide. They seek a body to house them. And so thousands of these had found in this man a place to dwell. That small, frail body of his, whether he be 9 foot tall, thinking about him, that small, frail body of his, housing all of these devils. And when Jesus Christ approached them, they cried out and they said before him, "My name is Legion, because we are many." If you want deliverance, if this man was going to find deliverance, it was going to come from Jesus Christ. Imagine the enormity of the situation. This man, with all of these traits we've already talked about, possessed for a long time of this unclean spirit that had this power over him that caused him to act the way he did. What would it take to deliver that man from all these things? You know what it took? Jesus said this, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." You know, it took for the God of creation to take those thousands of unclean spirits and completely throw them out of that man. All it took was a short word from him. "Come thou out of him." A command. "Come thou out of him." That's recorded again in this same story over in Mark chapter 5. Here it just says that the Lord, in verse number 28, had commanded, or verse 29, he had commanded them, but Mark gives us the words. "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And the minute he said that, those unclean spirits had to come out of the man. When a person today is unsaved and without Christ, they probably don't have thousands of unclean spirits. They might only have one. They might just be simply lost and without Christ and undone. But you know, all it takes is one word from him and it's all over. All it takes is one word from him, and those devils, no matter how many or how powerful, all are forced to flee. You know, a lot of times we want to think of this as, you know, the movie The Exorcist, or something that happens in foreign countries, and something that never happens in the United States. And again, though we don't personally see this enormity of it, it happens every day. Because we walk and dwell among people that are possessed by the devil. If they don't have Jesus Christ, and are not possessed by God, they're possessed by the devil. The worker of the miracle, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then look briefly at the wonder of the miracle. Two things that happen there and we'll be done. First of all, look what happened to the hogs. Verse 32. "And there were there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them." Again, these unclean spirits, you know, the Bible says that if a man has an unclean spirit and it's cast out, that it will go about seeking a place to dwell. And if that heart that it's been cast out of is not protected or cleansed, it'll move right back in there again. They're seeking a place to dwell. They don't just float around. They're not just out there somewhere. They're seeking a place to dwell. And they said, "If you're going to cast us out, cast us into that herd of swine that's over there." And so the Lord did so. It says in verse 32, he suffered them. Verse 33, "Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine." Look what happened to the swine. These unclean spirits that have been in this man now come out and go into this herd of swine. And what do? What is their reaction when they get this multiplicity of unclean spirits? It says in verse 33, that the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake, and they were choked. This herd of swine, these pigs, these hogs, could not handle these unclean spirits. And the minute they went in them, they ran violently. They could not control themselves. Just like the man who had at least some kind of a human element of being made in the image of God originally. At least he had something within him to counteract something. These hogs had no resistance. And the minute the man didn't run down a steep bank and go into the sea, but these hogs, the minute that they were possessed of these unclean spirits, ran violently down. I'm always interested in the way the Bible words things. "And the herd ran violently down." That's an indication of being possessed by unclean spirits. Violence. Anger. Harshness. my kid beat up your honor student. You know, we have in our day, we have a proudness over violence. A proudness over physical abuse. Until we lose control of it and then have to try to find a way to reverse the whole process that we created as man in the first place. And the devil coming in here causes this herd to run violently down. And that's the direction the devil always takes everybody. They ran violently down. The best thing you can do is get rid of those devils in your heart, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and start that upward movement. They ran violently down a steep place into the lake. You know what's interesting about that word lake? Matthew and Mark both record this miracle, and both of them say that the hogs ran down into the sea. But Luke is looking at it a different perspective. It's not a contradiction. Luke is showing us what happens when that devil has control. That there's violence, that you're always moving downhill, and that you end up in a lake. And that lake is the lake of fire. And they ran down into the lake and were choked. You know, people that never get rid of the devil in their life end up cast into the lake of fire. And for eternity, they suffer. The choking never ends. The smoke and the torment is eternal. These hogs could not handle the unclean spirits in them. And when they were possessed of them, ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. Somebody has called that hogicide. If they were female hogs, it would be sowicide. But they ran violently down a steep bank and were choked. Look what happened to the hogs. And then verse 35 and verse 36, and this is the best part of the whole story, so don't lose me yet. Verse 35 and verse 36, look what happened to the human. Verse 35, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed. They found him. How did they find him? Sitting. Remember this man that couldn't find any rest? Remember this man that couldn't abide in his own home but was running through the tombs and crying out and making all that racket and so violent? Now he's sitting. You know what Jesus Christ will bring? He'll bring rest. He'll bring rest. He'll give calmness to your heart. He'll give peace to your heart and to your mind. This man hadn't had it in a long time. This man's body, though he's sitting there, is still suffering the scars of all those years being possessed of those unclean spirits. But finally now, for the first time in a long time, he can simply sit and rest. Notice where he was sitting, at the feet of Jesus. There's reverence. He was sitting at the feet. He didn't have to be there. Jesus had already cast the unclean spirits out. He can go anywhere he wants to now. But you know where he wanted to be? He wanted to be at the feet of Jesus. A real sign of conversion, a real sign of the Lord coming in and doing a wonderful work is a desire for that person that's been the beneficiary of it to want to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed. Clothed. This man that ran around naked for all those years, suffering the weather, suffering the elements, suffering everything that went through it in that body. Now he's sitting there. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus and he's got clothes on. He looks normal. Not only is he normal because of what's happened, but he even looks normal. You know, people today don't want to look normal. Boys want to wear their jeans about down to their ankles and the boxers show from there up. Hopefully it covers that part. And the hat, I'm an old fogey. That's just all there is to it. A baseball hat is a baseball hat. When you put it on, the brim's supposed to go straight. When you put the hat on, the brim goes straight. That's what it's for, to keep the sun out of your eyes. It's not, you know, and here's what they put it on and then just cock it a little bit. And every time I see a picture of a ball player, I want to, you know, on the computer screen, I'm looking up this guy's stats or something and I see him. I want to reach into the picture and just straighten the hat out. But come on, just turn it a little bit, you know. Put it on right. Put it on straight. People don't want to look normal anymore. They want to have different things coming out of their face and ears and all these different places and just be abnormal and unnormal. And then when you stare at them, they say, "What are you staring at?" And you say, "Well, you." You don't look normal. I mean, look, you put that on and you didn't expect anybody to stare at it? I mean, you got a ring here and a ring there with a chain connecting the two, and you thought people are going to walk by and not pay any attention to it? This man was sitting at the feet of Jesus, robed. You could tell when you looked at him, something had changed in his life. You could tell when you looked at him, he was normal, whatever that word means. He was sitting there, robed. And then the Bible says this in verse number 35, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. In his right mind. You know, if a sign of devil possession is not being in your right mind, 90% of America has a problem. Because people just aren't in their right mind. I mean, let's think of it this way. The Constitution says that the government shall make no laws regarding the free practice of worship. But you're not free to carry a Bible into a public school. You're not free to pray in a public school. You're not free to post the Ten Commandments. They're making laws regarding the establishment of religion when the Constitution says they can't do it. The one they're sworn, it doesn't make any sense. And that's because the people that don't make sense are the ones running everything. Lester Roloff said years ago, America is an insane asylum run by the inmates. And that's the problem. People that are making decisions are not making sane decisions. We want to kick God out of the school and say you can't pray and you can't carry a Bible and you can't wear religious t-shirts and we can't post the Ten Commandments. And then when something bad happens, they say, where is God? Well, He's right where you were when you kicked Him out 40 years ago. He's sitting outside letting you do what you want to do and reap the benefit of it. You know, this man was sitting at the feet of Jesus, robed, clothed, and in his right mind. What a wonderful... This chained one was now a changed one. And all that it took to happen was simply a few words from the Lord Jesus Christ. He could say to this man, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And when that man came, he got rest. He got more than he bargained for. Not only did he get rest, he got reverent, he got robed, he got rational. Everything went in his favor because now he's not driven by the devil. He's driven by God. The maniac of Gadara? I don't think so. A devil-possessed man that met Jesus Christ. And after he did, things were never the same again. And they were always better. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Father, this morning we are so thankful for the Word of God that tells us these wonderful stories about Your mercy and Your grace. Father, Your deliverance to this poor man who is possessed for such a long time by these unclean spirits, the multitude of them, that controlled his mind, his heart, his body, his life, that separated him from everything that was normal and acceptable and made him an outcast. And yet, Father, by the wonderful grace of God, he was restored and cleansed and had the devils cast out. Father, we're thankful for the picture it portrays of the day that we trusted Christ. And Lord, You came into the heart of our life and threw the devil off the throne. Amen. Moved in His place. And Father, from that time, You have fought for control of our life, wanting to drive us and bless us and use us. I pray again, God, if there's someone today that does not know Christ as their Savior, Father, only You can take these words to touch their heart. Father, if they only hear what I say, it might make them angry. But Father, if they hear what the Spirit has to say to them, it'll make them repentant. And Father, they'll understand they need Jesus Christ in their heart and life. They'll never probably be in fear of being like this man in this story. But Father, the end of theirs will be so different from the end of this story if they don't come to know Christ. For we that are saved, Father, help us to have a burden for the lost, a desire to see them converted and changed, a desire to have them sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in their right mind. Bless Your Word to each and every heart, Father. Do a work that only You can do. And for that which You do, we give You the praise and the glory in Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen.